what the series is that we are studying in church on Sunday morning.
Healthy Church.
And today we are in part four. But one thing builds upon another, and so to catch the continuity, I'm going to review the first three. Now listen carefully and catch the flow. The healthy church. There are lots of churches. Some groups that call themselves a church really aren't a church. So we want to know what is a healthy church. We begin in part one with a definition. What is the church? The church is the body of Christ. He is the head. He owns the church. He is the authority of the church, and it belongs to him. Then we talked about the people in the church, that basically the church must be regenerated, saved people. And we went through Ephesians 1 and we found 9 things. They are predestinated, they are chosen, they are adopted, they are accepted, they are loved, and so on. We said that the people in a healthy church are Bible people and people who live by faith. And we put out a questionnaire on a scale of 1 to 10, how do we stand with those things? Came out 8.5, which is good. Part two, we considered the purpose of the church, which is to reveal Christ here on earth, to express Christ. While he is not here physically, we are, and we are to express him. The mission of the church is in Matthew 28. Go into all the world, make disciples of all people, teaching them his commands. We talked about a church being a healthy church family and what church growth is, not just in numbers of people, but in numbers of committed Christians. And then, part three, we talked about what is a healthy family. And just talked about a family, not necessarily church family, but what are the ingredients in a healthy family? With the Word of God, worship, fellowship, love, and grace, and so on. On all of these, with the ratings, we came out 8.5 in the concept of the people of our church, which is good. Now we move on. We say, having considered that, what's the next step? Well, we ask questions. How does the church fulfill its purpose? If we are to be the visible expression of Christ on earth, how then do we do that? If we are to go into all the world and make disciples of all people, how do we carry out our mission? What is God's plan? How is the church to function in order to get this done? Well, the basic passage that gives clear direction is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. That's what we're going to study. Now, if you're a serious Christian, you're a committed Christian, you'll be in the Bible. Get a Bible, open it to Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Look at these passages, and I'll tell you, this warning could be life-changing. This should deeply affect our lives. Now, this is how the Lord says a healthy church lives and works together. And we won't get into the context, but I'll just begin reading at verse 11. And he himself, that is the Lord, specifically Christ, gave some in the church to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastor teachers. For what purpose? For the equipping or training of the saints, that is, the Christians, for the work of ministry, for the building or edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, in order that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That is the church fulfilling its purpose and carrying out its mission. That's how we do it. Now we're going to look at this passage. Look carefully. Give yourself to it this morning. Pray that God will give you focus and attention. Now, first of all, in the church, God provides leadership. You go back into the Old Testament, God provided priests. No man could make himself a priest. Had to be appointed. God gives apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Nobody puts himself in that office. Must be, as far as now in our day, it's the call of God upon a man's life, and it's the approval of the church. And these people are given to the church. Now be careful what you say about the preacher, because they're given to the church. Now, what do they do? What do Christian leaders do? What do these people who are given to the church do? Verse 12, 4. You know, I'm just so impressed more and more about the importance of prepositions. Can anybody get excited about prepositions? I am. For, at, with, to, so. What for? For the quipping of the saints for the work of ministry or service. Training. Now, let me just insert a little commercial here. Training, equipping. Personally, I am not so concerned whether people come here like our music. I'm not so concerned that they like our worship. I'm not so concerned about the size of our church, but I'll tell you what I'm concerned about. With all that is within my being, vitally concerned, that the people who come here realize this is a training station. And the purpose of a Royal Bible Church is to have trained disciples doing the work of ministry. And the teaching of Scripture goes into that training. Have you ever thought of being willing to be trained? Or you think Sunday morning is just a church deal? It isn't. It's a part of training for your life and for your ministry. Now take special notice of this passage today because it affects your life. Now the leaders are given, and what is the role of the leadership? It does not say the leaders do the work of ministry. It says the leaders equip the people. So what do the leaders do? The leaders preach. The leaders teach. So they must be students of Scripture. The leaders train, which means they train not only the head but the heart. And if I'm working with a man in, quote, discipling, I want to win his heart. I want his heart for God. I want to equip him. If he's a husband, to be the best husband there is, to be the best father there is, to be the greatest minister there is. That's what the leaders do. Now, do you know that the one word in Scripture that's used most about leadership is shepherding? The same, if you look at the word here about pastor, that word is also translated shepherd. The shepherding ministry. So as we think about these people, they need the heart of a shepherd. Needs to think like a shepherd. What's a shepherd thinking about? He's really alert. He's caring. He's loving that flock, and he's sacrificial. Like David, he'll go after a lion and a bear, and he'll go into hard places to bring one little lamb back, and he'll carry it on his shoulders back home. He acts like a shepherd. He leads them. He provides for them. He protects them. He not only thinks and acts, he is. You can't fake it. He's faithful. He's diligent. That's leadership. God gives leadership. This is their role. This is who they are. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Now, the word ministry means serving, for the work of serving, to serve, to equip the saints, that is the Christians in the healthy church, to serve. So who does the work of the ministry? The people. Now this is what is lost today. This concept, and it desperately needs to be regained. leadership trains and equips. People do the work. Secondly, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And what does it mean to edify? It means to nurture and build up. An edifice is a building. And a Christian is saved, but he has to be built up. And the goal and purpose of leadership is for the process of equipping and edifying and training. The word for equipping is one of the most interesting words you'll ever run across. It has five meanings. You might want to write them down. It applies to a fishing term. Mending nets. When Jesus came along the shore of Galilee, they were mending their nets. That's a part of the training and equipping, helping people to mend nets. It's a medical term that refers to healing broken bones. We do that in discipling. It's a nautical term meaning cleaning a dirty ship. So we deal with the realities of sin. It's a political term dealing with reconciling divisions. It's a military term meaning training soldiers. A healthy church is a group of healthy Christian soldiers. And one of the things that you must realize this morning is that you are in an army. And this army has plenty to fight about. And every one of us are soldiers in the army. Be willing to be trained. Now then, the people do the work of the ministry. How do they do that? With gifts given by God. Now in this same chapter, in verse 7, I'll read it to you. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And the Holy Spirit gives to each one as He wills. Now, another thing that must be realized this morning is that you are a gifted Christian. And you can no longer cop out by saying, I can't do it. That's a false pride. I remember a man who just had a wonderful singing voice and could have helped in the worship, but most of the time he refused with a false pride. But what a sad thing. You are gifted to serve the healthy church. And this fulfilling our purpose and carrying out our mission is done by the exercise of gifts in the work of the ministry. And this Bible, this text says we are all involved. That's missing. We have a lot of pastors who burn out. They lose their marriages, they lose their families, they lose their calling because they try to do it all. And sometimes the churches push them into doing it all. That's the opposite of the way it should be. The pastor is a trainer, equipper, and the people do the work. If you are not involved in the work of the ministry, you're simply a spectator. And you're sitting up there in the stands and you're letting 22 people work hard, sweating it out down there on the field. The whole body is involved. Take it personally. Whether you like it or not, you are in the ministry. When we talk about people being in the ministry, and we think that's a full-time missionary or preacher or somebody, no. Every Christian is in the ministry. That's the calling. It's not just a ticket to heaven. It's a way of life that involves your whole life. It is above your career. It is above your recreation. It's being in the ministry, in the service. And the word means serving. Paul uses the word work. In the work, it's a word that means labor and energy. Doing what? Serving one another. In this body. With nurture. In mercy and caring and comforting and crying. There was a little boy who lived next door to an elderly neighbor, the man. The man's wife had recently died. And the little boy came over to the house and he saw the elderly man crying. The little boy got into his lap and sat there and said nothing. The boy's mother saw him and said, "What did you say to the gentleman?" The little boy said, "I didn't say anything. I just helped him cry." That's ministry. Helping each other cry. Helping each other laugh. Helping each other pay bills. The work of ministry involves what we call discipling. And we're going to spend about 3 weeks on this idea of discipling, which is helping people grow spiritually. Think of this. Are you helping anyone grow spiritually? It involves intercession. That's what Jesus was and is. He stands between God and people and he intercedes for them. And the reason you and I are here this morning as a Christian, because he is interceding for us. Is there anyone for whom you could intercede this morning and stand in their place at the throne of grace, begging God for mercy upon them? The work of ministry involves giving. You give your time, you give your energy, and you give sacrificially. How long has it been since you have been willing to be inconvenienced to help somebody else? Give up your pleasure to help somebody else. The work of ministry involves loving. Maybe that sums it all up. But the point is, you and I are in it. Now, this taking place, training, equipping, people in the ministry, in the work of ministry, what is the result? Verse 13. Until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature person, spiritually grown, to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. Keep going. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotters, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up. You're in the ministry for the purpose of spiritual growth, that we might grow up. A healthy church is grown-up believers. Stop acting like children and living selfishly for your own self. And give yourself to the work which God has called you, which is in the ministry. Now, we're grown-up believers, and one way that that's spoken of here is doctrinally. So that you and I are not tossed about by everybody who comes to town and toots a loud horn, and the Christians flock from one church to that loud horn, then somebody else comes with a louder horn, the Christians flock over there. That's pure childishness. We need to discern every wind of doctrine. We were visiting with some friends yesterday whom we have known since 1954. It's a long time, isn't it? And Tim and Cindy sent us a computer. So Faye and Becky were setting that up, and we're thinking of we'll have an email, right? And we have to have an address. So we were thinking of an address. And little old me, I said, it's Tulip. That's our address. So I told these friends, our email address is Tulip. Well, it had kind of, they knew about it, but it kind of slipped from them. I chastise them severely, and they'll never forget Tulip now. What is Tulip? It is the gospel. If you don't know Tulip, you don't know the gospel. And you need to be trained and equipped doctrinally so you're not washed away. You're to be trained doctrinally and practically, to make right decisions, to make right friends, to go to the right places and be the right person. A healthy church is made up of spiritually healthy individuals. You can't get away from that. And we could talk about it the rest of our lives, but if something doesn't happen in your life, we will not be a healthy church. What is it? It's the whole church involved, people working together. And he uses interesting words here about the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Think of your bodies, muscles, sinew, bones, working together. according to the effective working by which every part does its share. This is God's blueprint for a healthy church. This is the way it is to be and must be, has to be. This has to be in the church across America, and it has to be here. Now personalize this text and see how you fit in this morning before you walk out this door. Will you involve yourself with God in this text? And will you be willing to accept your calling of being in the ministry? You are in the ministry. And you have a purpose and a mission to fulfill. What will you do this day to carry out your ministry in doing the work of serving? The call is not just to be Christian, not to be casual, but to be committed. Total commitment, without reservation. If you go into the service, you report to the company commander, and you don't go in and say, "Sir, I'd like to have my breakfast at 8 o'clock, and I like ham and eggs, and then I take a nap in mid-morning, and then in the afternoon I'll report for duty." You don't come with reservations. You come and say, "I'm here." Now that's the way you have to come to Christ this morning. You don't put conditions on it. "I'm here, I'm yours. I will be what you want me to be, and that's a minister. I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll do what you want me to do. Otherwise, you are not a healthy Christian, and we are not a healthy church until we all come to that." Not just one or two. This is the entire body of Christ in the ministry. Now, I don't know what more I can say about this. If the Holy Spirit is not involved with us this morning and bringing this passage to bear upon all of our hearts, then it's empty. But if He is, then you respond this morning. And you be a minister in your family, in your neighborhood, in your business, in your school, and in your church. And it's very likely that God is calling some to be in, quote, that full-time ministry, which is a misnomer. Everybody's full-time. But there may be special missionary work, special work in churches.